Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh boy, what a day to talk to Mike Florio. How perfectly this lined up for us. And selfishly, I am happy for myself. He is the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk. He is at Pro Football Talk on X and also on Blue Sky. He joins us on the Circa Sports Casino Hotline. Download the Circa app today. And he is on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Mike Florio, we basically did like an hour Mike Florio pregame show where we just went over like mystery team scenarios and all of these interesting possible other head coaching jobs that could open up. And keep in mind here in Chicago that when Craig Counsell became available, we all thought David Ross's job was secure until Jed Hoyer told him it wasn't. And the next thing we know, Craig Counsell is now the manager here. So there's never been a better day to talk to you now that John Harbaugh is available.
Well, and this is one of those where we saw it was possibly coming. We talked about it on Football Night in America in advance of the Ravens-Steelers game from Pittsburgh on Sunday night. But when it happens, it's still a surprise. And it's the kind of move, I had said this for years about Mike Tomlin, because there's a portion of the Steelers fan base, anytime the Steelers would lose two or three games in a row, they begin calling for Tomlin to be fired. And I've said, look, Tomlin, if fired, will immediately land somewhere else. There will be teams that are thinking about firing their coaches who will fire their coaches for a shot at Tomlin. And there will even be teams who are otherwise happy with their coaches that will ponder the possibility of upgrading to Mike Tomlin if he becomes available. And for a lot of the same reasons why it was time for a change in Baltimore, there was talk about maybe it's time for a change in Pittsburgh. There's a lot of reasons to look at Harbaugh the same way we look at Tomlin. I just don't think we ever expected going into a season that Harbaugh was going to be available as he now is. And yeah, at least one team, maybe more than one team that currently has a head coach has made the call and could be plotting an effort to move on from the current coach and then land John Harbaugh.
I want to go straight to what you just said about the Mike Tomlin thing, because we were talking about the, I'm sure you saw it, the meme, like the field goal, if it's good, it's Tomlin being fired. If it's off, which it was, Harbaugh gets fired. That's come to fruition. But it's already feeling like a seismic tidal wave of coaching change is here. But if Tomlin at home were to get blown out by, say, the Texans this weekend, is there a chance that both those coaches could still be available? And that just changes the entire market for a head coach.
I don't think the outcome on Monday night, by way of whether or not it's lopsided, means anything, although that game last month against the Bills was as bad as it could possibly be. I think the reality in Pittsburgh is they're not going to fire him, but, and this first hit me last week, and after you do this long enough, you start to read between the lines when somebody who is a reporter starts saying things that kind of feel like they're saying something, but they can't quite say it. It became clear to me last week, and I firmly believe, based upon things I've heard since then, Tomlin's got a TV offer in his back pocket if he wants it. I don't know that he's going to want it, but based on how this season ends, when this season ends, and how he feels after it ends, he could pull the pin on that and head to one of the networks as an analyst in the studio, as a game analyst. I think he'd be great on games. I think that style of crafting talking points and catchphrases on the fly would be very conducive to the 20 seconds that you have between plays to make comments. But I think that's really the issue there. It's not him being fired. It's Mike Tomlin deciding after 19 years to move on, which if that happens, that makes Zach Taylor, the guy who would have been the first one fired, but for the buyout, because we know the Bengals will never pay a coach to not coach the team. He's going to become the dean of the AFC North coaches if that happens.
Good Lord. And when you consider that his job should also be up for discussion, or might be, there's another part of this. And two-time coach of the year, you know, Kevin Stefanski, we've talked about that too. Like, that's a... If that doesn't tell you that things could change in the NFL, I don't know what does. Although, Mike, I will say this. Mike Tomlin can't walk off after somebody asks him a question he doesn't like once he's doing TV and he's trapped on that set now. You have to answer those questions this time.
Well, that's right. And look, that's part of the shift that we've seen from coaches who will act a certain way in a press conference. And then when they're getting paid to talk, it's very different. The prime example of that is one William Stephen Belichick, who has a very different demeanor when he's getting a paycheck to talk than he does when he's getting a paycheck to coach.
Okay, I want to
scoreboard.
I want to ask you about the coaches who are coaching this weekend outside of Tomlin. Listen, it seems like this is now or never for the Bills because there is no Patrick Mahomes, there is no Lamar Jackson, there is no Joe Burrow. Is Sean McDermott on the hot seat, and how desirable of a job would that be if it were to become open? Because I'm looking at like places John Harbaugh could go, not just the openings themselves, but what else could be open after this weekend.
It would be a strange move, though, to replace a coach who has failed to take a generational quarterback to a Super Bowl with a coach who has failed to take a generational quarterback to a Super Bowl. So Harbaugh for McDermott would be, I think, a tough sell. They're opening a new stadium in Buffalo. Owner Terry Pegula is going to have to make the call, but you only have so many years left of Josh Allen's prime. And even though they're a low seed, this is arguably the best chance they have to get to the place they've been trying to go since 1993, the last time the Bills went to a Super Bowl. I think there's a question in Buffalo, and it makes the people in charge very nervous when we start talking about it, because I think they recognize they haven't done enough with Josh Allen. Is it a talent question? Is it a coaching question? And then that sets up the possibility of a half measure where McDermott stays, GM Brandon Bean goes, or Bean stays, McDermott goes. Or, look, I think the right way to run an organization is to have everyone on the same footing, and we're either going to keep everyone or get rid of everyone. But if the Bills' job becomes open with Josh Allen, I think that triggers the same reaction by the candidates as the availability of Harbaugh has triggered by the teams that are looking for coaches. I think that becomes the number one job, no questions asked. If you can go work with Josh Allen and complete the job of building a team around him that turns the Bills into a Super Bowl champion.
We're talking to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk here on Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. Mike is the creator and editor-in-chief, and there's a little bit of breaking baseball news. Mike, I thought the hot stove here was dead. Cubs close to acquiring Edward Cabrera, the right-handed pitcher for the Miami Marlins, that from Ken Rosenthal. But first, Michael Cerami, our friend over at Bleacher Nation. So that news coming across, we will continue to collect more information. But the Cubs need a pitching help, so that's an actual out-getter. Getting back to the matter at hand, Mike, when it comes to the discussion surrounding John Harbaugh, we had seen the report that seven teams had contacted John Harbaugh's agent, Brian Harlan, within 45 minutes or so of him being announced as no longer with the Ravens. But there were seven calls, and there's only seven job openings, which means the Ravens didn't call. So we're trying to figure out who that mystery team was. If you had to guess, who's mystery team?
Well, and it's possible there are more than one mystery teams, because we're assuming that all six of the teams looking for coaches other than the Ravens made a call within the first 45 minutes. It's possible it's more than one. I ran through all the possibilities in an item that I posted an hour and a half ago at PFT. The Buccaneers are the first team that comes to mind because it seems like they're figuring out what to do with Todd Bowles, who went to three straight division championships, but his record's 35-33, and they've seen a revolving door of offensive coordinators who are going on to be successful elsewhere. Now, Harbaugh's not an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator. He was a longtime special teams coach, but that was the first team I thought of. Another team that came to mind, because I've been reading the tea leaves as it relates to the team that's coming back to Chicago on Saturday night for a playoff game. When Ed Policy became the president of the Packers, he said that there would be no new contracts for Coach Matt LaFleur or GM Brian Gutekunst before the end of the 2025 season. Both are signed through 2026. Policy also made it clear he's not a fan of lame duck arrangements. So that makes 2025 an up or out year for both guys. And when you consider that the Packers have made it the past 3 years as the seventh seed, if they hadn't expanded the playoffs in 2020, the Packers would be on a four-year run of no playoffs. I can't help but wonder whether or not the current president of the Packers called the son of former Packers president Bob Harlan and said, don't make any decisions until next week. And again, that's all speculation, but Brian Harlan caused the speculation by specifically saying seven teams called. He knew what that meant, and he knew what it was going to do. And I think one of the teams we need to look at is the Green Bay Packers. Also, the Miami Dolphins. Hey, it was in 2011 that Stephen Ross tried to hire Jim Harbaugh while he still had a head coach in Tony Sparano. So why wouldn't the Dolphins call about John Harbaugh at a time when it feels very tenuous about Mike McDaniel in Miami?
Well, and that's the wild card here. We know this well enough here. We've been through this. We've seen the movies.
So many times.
You know, the wild card is ownership. It's that owner who wants a big name or has fallen in love with somebody, and you don't necessarily know how that's going to play out.
That is the biggest challenge when trying to figure out what the owners are going to do. If we will concede that we collectively have a rational mind, it is difficult for those with a rational mind to predict the behaviors of the irrational. And so many of these teams that are bad, they're bad for a reason. The dysfunction flows from the top of the organization. Although, please don't call the Browns dysfunctional. Jimmy Haslam has asked nicely that we no longer call the Browns dysfunctional. But that's the problem.
The other,
we don't
the
know
other
what
word
bright idea the owner...
The other word includes a cuss word. Like, no. It's either a dysfunctional or something that starts with an S show.
Yes, but we don't know what these owners are going to want to do. And you're right. It all comes down to what they choose to do. That's how I framed it on Sunday when we talked about Harbaugh's situation. Before that game started, they were just thrilled they had a chance to make it to the playoffs after the year that they had. And if Tyler Loop doesn't miss the field goal, John Harbaugh doesn't get fired last night, because they're getting ready for a game next Monday night against the Houston Texans. So Steve Bisciotti had to make the decision. And part of the decision is, and I respect Bisciotti for taking the risk that the Ravens are going to take a step back and Harbaugh is going to land somewhere where he's instantly better. And you're going to get those questions. Why did you fire John Harbaugh? But I think that it was time for a change for both sides, just for the same reasons that people were saying last month that it may be time for a change for both sides in Pittsburgh. It's a long time, 18 years, 19 years. Harbaugh had 18, Tomlin has 19. It's a long time for one guy to coach a team.
A couple of things. First off, quickly, Ben Johnson, can he effectively end the Matt LaFleur era? Is that what you're saying this weekend? They have a chance to do that?
Yes, yes. And okay. Given the things that Ben Johnson has said about Matt LaFleur, I wonder if he'll feel guilty if he gets Matt LaFleur fired.
No, I don't think that's how that works. We've seen how Ben Johnson operates. And the follow-up is, how in danger is the entire Chicago Bears coaching staff right now with all this going on? Guys like Al Harris, guys like Declan Doyle. I mean, we just saw John Morton get fired in Detroit.
Well, you know, one of the problems with the hiring cycle is whether it's coordinators, whether it's head coaches, you have distractions created when your assistant coaches are on the list to be interviewed by these teams. That creates a major problem. There are coaches who just hate the current system. Some people think that nothing should happen until after the Super Bowl. That's not practical. It fits with the timeline of the NFL. Maybe you have to adjust the timeline. I don't know. But it does create issues, and it's another challenge for a coach of a successful team to have to keep everyone focused on the task at hand when they're naturally going to be thinking about possible promotions elsewhere.
We're talking to Mike Florio, the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk, and that's the amazing part about all of this. You know, it's a playoff week here for the first time in years. It's NFL playoffs at their maybe one of the most exciting weeks that I can think of when you consider the level of competition just up and down the seeds. And here we are talking about the teams who aren't necessarily playing. Like, that's what makes this so compelling. You know, what do you think about this coaching cycle now that this is such a game changer? I think it's also just one of those times where it might be a potential sea change moment in the league.
Well, and think about where we were a week ago. We had a pretty good idea that the Raiders and the Browns were going to change coaches. Beyond that, nobody knew. Nobody knew the Cardinals were going to change coaches, even though Michael Bidwell, the owner of the team, had to have known. You don't go to bed the night after you finish 3-14 and wake up the next day with a lightning bolt moment that you're going to change your coach. And there's that video that's out there of Bidwell seeking out Jonathan Gannon for this bear hug. In hindsight, it was Michael Corleone and Fredo at New Year's Eve. That's what that was, because he knew damn well what was happening the next day. So we're at 7, almost a fourth of the league, and that's not atypical. That's the way it works in the NFL. Because it's a zero-sum game with 272 games, there's a winner and there's a loser, except for a tie, which happened, what, once this year. There are going to be good teams, there are going to be bad teams, and the bad teams are going to feel pressure to become good teams. You want season ticket renewals, and for a team like the Browns, I think Kevin Stefanski was made to be the scapegoat for the failed Deshaun Watson transaction from 4 years ago. They're going to be selling PSLs to their new stadium. They need the fans to be willing to dig deep into the discretionary income and write the checks. So they've got to do something to at least create the impression they're trying to change. The best part is they can't lose any more games until next September, but they can at least create the impression for now that they're trying to win more games and get people to renew season tickets and buy those PSLs for the stadium they're going to be building in a few years.
At the other end of the spectrum sits the reigning Super Bowl champion Eagles. I'm just curious, because they had a chance to get the 2 seed, did not play their starters. Do you think Nick Sirianni is in any jeopardy with these head coaching, the carousel spinning the way it is right now? I mean, if they were to lose to the 49ers this weekend?
I'd be stunned, because they won the Super Bowl. We went through this exercise in 2023 after they fell apart down the stretch. They were 10-1. They won one regular season game the rest of the way. They were blown out by the Buccaneers in the wild card round. And there's that great shot of Jeffrey Lurie in the luxury suite. And I don't think there's a word to describe the expression on his face. It was a combination of like 4 different things. And it was almost like one of those paintings where if you look at it from a different angle, it gives you a different impression. But remember, we had a couple of days, because the Cowboys got blown out that weekend by the Packers. The Eagles got blown out Monday night by the Bucs. There were a couple of days where we're wondering, are one of these two teams going to make a move for Bill Belichick? The Cowboys ultimately issued a statement that Mike McCarthy's coming back. The Eagles, I think their attitude was, only a dysfunctional team feels compelled to issue a statement saying its coach is coming back. We just went to the Super Bowl. We went to the playoffs. We're not going to make a change. Now, Nick Sirianni had to go in and meet with Jeffrey Lurie and explain how he was going to make it better for 2024, and the plan worked. I just think he has enough equity. When you consider how he started his career with 5 straight playoff appearances, and some of the things he's accomplished are very, very rare, I think that it would be a huge surprise if the Eagles would say, hey, we're going to upgrade to John Harbaugh, although that's where Harbaugh worked before he became the Ravens
years.
Coach
10
18
years
ago.
See, and there it is, the jigsaw puzzle that we just can't put the pieces together yet. Mike Florio, this has been a lot of fun, informative, and a good day for rabbit holes, that's for sure. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. Have a great week.
That's Mike Florio, who also did a cool thing where fireworks showed up on his
He gave us the 2 Twitch. Thumbs up on Twitch, and that creates the fireworks through the Zoom link. Listen,
that was amazing. Yeah, if you're on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score, we started with fireworks with Mike Florio.
Man, this day has been great.
Yeah, and we're just getting started, because apparently the Cubs might have gotten a pitcher, a real one, you know, like who starts and stuff.
Are they going to pay him $22 million for 1 year?
Why are you doing this?
Because I had to be realistic with what's going on. No qualifying offers. I want to know what they're giving up. That's what I want to know.
Cubs are reportedly in hot pursuit of Edward Cabrera, the righty who starts for the Marlins. So we will come back with more coming up next. Bruce Levine is now joining us. He will be with us in our next segment, right? All right. A little breaking news chase here on 670 The Score.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Be safe to say you're looking for like one legit starter to bring in via trade or free agency? Does that kind of make sense?
I think in the simplest way, I'd say one. I think there's of course worlds where you, there's guys that are kind of more hybrid guys, or you know, like I think, you know, I call a guy like Colin Ray.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, I think that we we're definitely looking for another starter, but like, could we add multiple guys that could make starts? Yes.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we have a little bit of breaking news. We are getting multiple reports now that the Cubs are closing in on a deal with Edward Cabrera, the Miami Marlins right-handed starting pitcher. Michael Cirami reporting that it's getting close. John Heyman's added this note, which is hilarious. Word is the Yankees were, quote, never close, end quote. Mm. So there's that.
But breaking news, by the way, brought to you by the Take the North podcast. You can listen to that with our own Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We decided that's a new sponsor of Breaking News. And in the meantime, we have a guest on our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Bruce Levine, our intrepid baseball reporter, getting it done. And Bruce, it's funny, we began our show talking about a possible Craig Counsell scenario in the NFL with John Harbaugh available. Lo and behold, we get some Cubs news spoken into existence. What can you tell us about the possibility of Edward Cabrera in a trade coming from the Marlins?
Well, he's a young pitcher that's been with the Marlins for a while, and he's going into his first year of arbitration. A big power arm that the Cubs tried to acquire over the last 2 years, including last July. We believe Owen Casey will be a part of this deal because that's who they were asking for in the packages for Alcantara and for Cabrera when they were talking to the Marlins last July before the trading deadline. So we don't know how expanded this deal is, but you know, Cabrera gives you another young, controllable power arm to go along with, you know, the young pitchers that they have with the Cubs right now, and particular with Cade Horton. It's a very formidable 1-2 going into the 2026 season.
Of course, Bruce, disappointment ran roughshod throughout the city of Chicago and the Cubs fan base at the deadline last year because of the lack of moves. I'm so curious as to what's making this deal work now and what's your understanding of why the KC component of this couldn't get done last year to help the Cubs, I don't know, make a playoff push.
Well, they were asking for four young players. Washington was asking for four players for Gore. Florida was asking for four players for their two pitchers. So they were trying to get people to pony up more because it's at that time, Marshall, you know, it's teams that want to go into the playoffs and need that other arm. In the offseason, it's a more of a overview of what the other team really needs to do going forward, how much money they need to spend. In this case, it's not an expensive player. He's probably going to make somewhere between $3.5 and $4 million in his first year of arbitration. So it's not a lot of money. But for the Marlins, it's a different look. And, you know, they know that they have a solid amount of pitching. They need hitting. They were one of the worst hitting teams in baseball last year. And they envision Casey as their everyday starting left or right fielder. So that's going to be a part of this deal. We don't know the other names that are involved here, but that's not going to be the only name that the Cubs give up in this deal. We'll just have to see how expanded it is. But they'll be pitching given up by the Cubs in the trade.
This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We're talking with our baseball reporter, Bruce Levine, because news breaking today that the Cubs are close to finalizing a deal to acquire Edward Cabrera from the Miami Marlins. That first broken by Michael Cirami of Bleacher Nation. And Bruce, Owen Casey is somebody who I think a lot of people thought would help try, emphasis on try, to fill the gap of offense that Kyle Tucker left on this team, perhaps a platoon situation or something. I think people are trying to figure out some sort of way to get Owen Casey's bat into the Cubs lineup in some way, shape, or form. You know, what do you think that does to how they approach offense as well in the future? Do we lose Bruce?
Apparently we lost Bruce for a moment. We'll get him back.
The Cylons had behaved for a long time on the midday show.
Are you saying we were due?
You know, sometimes they remind you who they are to take out a guest here or there on a hotline.
We'll resuscitate that particular call. I'm impressed with this deal, even though I believe it's a little bit too late, but I understand like why maybe it couldn't have gotten done during the regular season, but it would have been such a boon to this pitching staff because of what happened to Cade Horton later in the season. I do wonder where he slots in, though, in this rotation. That's the interesting thing to me off the top.
Well, I mean, he was considered, you know, by some to be the ace of the Marlins, whatever you want to however you describe that. So but he's coming off a career high in innings pitched as well. I think that's important. People have pointed out that he's had, I don't think it's as bad as what we saw with Justin Steele regarding the frequency of some injury concerns. Bruce Levine is now back with us here on Raheemy Harrison Grody. And yeah, we're picking up where we left off in conversation, Bruce. I want to get to the Owen Casey comment about the offense, but also, yeah, this is a guy who's coming off of a career high in innings, reportedly 3 years left via that deal, via arbitration, if that's the case. Are you at all concerned about like the fact that he has had some tendonitis issues per se, stuff like that? He does throw a lot of breaking balls. It's really his bread and butter. What do you think?
Well, Layla, it might be a part of why the Marlins are trading him. But, you know, he made 30 starts last year, and he has a huge strikeout, over innings pitched number that you can look at. So this is a big arm, and it's a coveted arm. There's other teams that have been trying to get Cabrera in deals. The rumor with the Yankees I don't think necessarily was true about them being close to a deal. But in this case, for sure, you're getting a big arm, and obviously the medicals are a big part of getting this trade done. You know, the Cubs had a deal last year with Philadelphia that was quashed because of the fact that they were in a situation where the medicals didn't work out. So you always have to wait for the medicals to come through before it's announced.
And, of course, I like where he is with that. You mentioned it, Bruce, the strikeouts per nine. That's my big thing. Get more guys with double digits in that number for his career, 10 strikeouts per nine innings. So I love that about him. I'm looking at him specifically trying to figure out where he slots in your mind in this starting rotation. Obviously, they've got Imanaga back. Cade Horton is the guy at last check. Where do you see him slotting into this rotation?
I think he's two or three. Boyd off of last year is certainly high up there in their ideas. But, you have to look at Boyd and Horton 1-2 right now or 2-1, whatever way you want to look at it. I think Cabrera is right there in the top three. So that's how they're going to look at him. And again, the one thing you look at here is this trade. But what it does tell you also is that the Cubs are down two outfielders rather than one. Does this allow them to get back into the conversation, bringing back either Tucker or Cody Bellinger to play right field? Because you're now considering Suzuki as your primary number one outfielder alone, unless you're considering Alcantara, the young kid, as part of it, and I don't think they do. So does this allow the Cubs to get back into the Bellinger conversation, or if Tucker is not getting the 7-8 years that was projected out there, does that allow the Cubs to get back into a 3 or 4 year deal with opt-outs in case Tucker's not getting the money that he wants elsewhere?
Well, and it's funny you bring that up, Bruce, because I believe it was SNY, which is the Mets broadcast partner, Sportsnet New York, reporting that the Mets had become the favorites for Kyle Tucker. And if that's the case, you know they're willing to pay. So I wonder if that changes the calculus on the aggression of, say, a conversation about Cody Bellinger.
Right. But, again, maybe Bellinger is waiting for Tucker to sign, vice versa. I mean, they're similar players. Some people feel Tucker's going to get more. But Bellinger's coming off of an awesome year with the New York Yankees, proving if you can do it in New York, you can do it anywhere, right? So that was a huge year that he had for the Yankees. They want him back. It just depends what type of contract him and Scott Boras want. Is it a 5, 6, 7 year deal? Are the Cubs interested in bringing back Bellinger? Certainly they traded him once. They signed him once. They traded him once. I think they'd be open to bringing him back again.
I was surprised to hear you bring up the name Kyle Tucker, because I thought neither side really wanted a part of each other. And a lot of teams obviously interested in Tucker's services going forward. I will ask, where do you think they are on other options, such as these rumors about Bo Bichette, who I would love to see in a Cubs uniform, and some of these other players that are still out there as free agents?
Well, I know they've had conversations with Bichette's agent, and they certainly had conversations with Boras about Bregman. So the idea that the Cubs aren't spending and they won't spend, I don't think I don't think by the time spring training starts, we'll be able to say that. I think there'll be somewhere right around the $240 to $250 million in payroll by the time they get ready to start the season. So with that in mind, that would be, you know, I mean, what a Cub convention it would be after picking up Cabrera here and signing another player like a Bichette or one of the outfielders.
Man, if that's the case, I think we're bringing sparklers and bottle service to Cubs convention, Bruce. That, I mean, the fact that you're saying this, and we know that the latest on Bregman with the Red Sox was the offer was submitted and they're standing on it. I had omitted Alex Bregman's name from the conversation for me. Like, the fact that you're bringing it up is also encouraging, I think.
Well, I mean, they're short at least one hitter. I mean, I think they know it better than anyone else. When you lose a guy like Tucker, you know, that's a significant amount of the offense that you had to get yourself that big lead that allowed you to be in the playoffs last year. They know it better than anyone else. And obviously, you know, if Casey's in this deal, he's not part of what they're counting on. So, you know, is Ballesteros as a DH, is that going to bring you enough offense for this team, or are they going to make a big addition? I think they have to make a big addition along the way. We just don't know what that player might be.
Amen, Bruce. They have to make a big addition.
I'm glad he said it out loud where everybody could hear him.
Yes, that is Bruce Levine. Thanks again for keeping us posted on this. I know as the news continues to develop, you will hang with the score. So check Bruce's social media, of course, for updates. And then we'll keep bothering you, too. And if you need it, Inside the Clubhouse is on Saturday at 9. Should be a fun one now that I would believe by then. This thing will probably get done. So that's the latest on the reports about Edward Cabrera coming to the Cubs. Bruce, thanks so much.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Wow, Bruce Levine with some good news.
You know what? And it's the optimism at the end that really gives me some hope for baseball fans in the city, because if they can pull a Bregman or a Bichette and add to what I was understood to be the totality of an offense that was fifth in baseball last year in runs, then there was, you have more hope. No, I'm being serious.
Like, I see what you did there.
But you have more hope, because if they were going to stand pat on offense, the hope is waning. Over here, anyway, the hope is waning.
So what you're telling me is John Harbaugh can't be the outfielder for the Cubs. Like, he can't be in right. I don't think the bat's there.
I don't want to see him in the Chris Sabo rec specs, which is what you probably have him in based on our conversations about Harbaugh brothers and their eyewear.
Dude, Jim is about to, that's going to be a heck of a game. Chargers like getting into the playoffs and just the propensity for their finishes too. This is a good time. What a time to be alive.
Certainly what a time not to be out here looking for a head football coach.
That part. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We want you to know you can join The Score and Circa Sports Illinois this Friday at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Spiegel and Holmes will be there live from 2 to 6 p.m. for playoff football talk. And it's always a fun time at Real Time Sports. And Chicago prepares for another rematch against Green Bay. Plus, you can win Chicago sports tickets from Circa Sports Illinois. That's Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. It is all brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. Coming up next, it's halftime, and I love a good heist. And we thought the Louvre heist was cool. Well, wait till I tell you about what happened straight out of Ocean's 11 in Germany.
And this might not be appropriate for this time of day, but I'm going to tell the story anyway. A lawsuit involving a former player. Yeah, look at how you're looking at me. Do you know the story? Yeah. Here's your teaser.
I did not think we could talk about it on the air, but let's go. Okay. The Cubs may have gotten a starting pitcher. John Harbaugh is outside. Let's go.
I will bring up a vending machine in this conversation.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
It is halftime, and on this Wednesday, ahead of a Bears playoff game on Saturday, we spent a lot of time talking about the coaching carousel that the Bears don't have to be a part of. Ha-ha! John Harbaugh being available changes everything. And did the rift between John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, if there is one, hit a point of emphasis when it came to the Friday before the game they played against the Bears? That's what Nick Wright thinks. And then we talked about all the playoff coaches that could also be affected by this move. And then who's mystery team? You always want to know who mystery team is. We talked about it to Mike Florio, and then Bruce Levine just joined us because, according to multiple reports now first broken by Michael Cirami of Bleacher Nation, the Cubs are closing in on a deal to acquire Edwin Cabrera, the right-handed starting pitcher from the Miami Marlins. Starting pitching. Bruce Levine thinks that Owen Casey is going to be part of the deal. The terms have not yet been disclosed.
So you talk about mystery teams. Something should maybe remain a mystery to the public, but they're not. And that's why former Viking and Panthers offensive lineman Matt Khalil is suing his ex-wife, Haley Khalil. No, she kept the last name because she likes that notoriety. After she discussed the size of his private parts as being the reason why their marriage came to a conclusion. The 36-year-old Khalil claimed that Haley's comments during a live stream in November were quote-unquote invasive and destroyed his chance to stay out of the public eye after he retired from the NFL. This according to TMZ, which reviewed the lawsuit filed on Tuesday. Haley's comments came in a November appearance on Marlon Garcia's Marathon live stream when she described his size as, quote, two Coke cans, maybe even a third, end quote.
I didn't know about this.
She explained that it impacted their marriage, which ended in 2022. Matt alleges that Haley's comments gave him, quote, unwanted attention and invasive commentary from the public, end quote, while adding that his family has been forced to endure the ongoing public circulation of these degrading and deeply personal statements. Your thoughts, Layla?
Well, he married an influencer by trade who's known to be public about things.
But I don't know that she was an influencer when they got married. They got married in 2015. They got divorced 7 years later. He actually remarried to his current wife,
yeah,
Kehlani Asmus.
They have a child.
They have a child together. So apparently, was it a problem for her? Is that not correct?
I hate the fact that for him, this is something that has become public. But the problem is, once you decide to sue, people like me who didn't know the story to begin with now know the story. So that's the flip side of taking action here.
So again, the lawsuit is a request for a jury trial and damages for an amount that exceeds $75,000. He claims in the suit, by the way, that Haley received substantial financial benefit, include increased viewership, increased engagement, and monetization through various social media platforms and media coverage. And she had hinted that the biggest factor in their split was his quote-unquote size. At one point, appeared to imitate how big it was by flopping her arm on the table. I'm just reading.
Did you know about this before he sued her?
Of course I didn't. That's the point. That's why he's suing for $75,000.
But you didn't know about it before he sued her, correct?
I did. Did you?
No. Oh. And that's why I think this is a problem.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you want to take legal action, but unfortunately, the story then entirety comes out, and you don't want that to happen. More people end up hearing about something,
you know,
even though he was wronged in her saying this stuff.
You know why I'm with him and not her? Because she had the nerve to, after the live stream went viral and made headlines, to come back and say she still cared deeply about Matt's privacy.
No, she did not. Not after doing that.
And the integrity of what we shared together. Those are her words, not mine.
Integrity?
Come on, man. Come on, man. You look, you saw clout and you took that clout with you to the internet and said, I'm going to cash in on that clout.
Also, I'm not, you know, I don't think this is the 1920s by any means. So I'll just point this out.
Go
ahead. Wasn't an issue before you got married.
Maybe they were saving themselves. I don't know.
But you know what I mean?
I hear you. I hear you.
Like, there's usually steps that happen in 2026 or even in 2015, dare I say.
When she's describing it with the Coke cans, the first thing I thought about was when I play spades and they ask, how many books do you have? And you're like, I got two. Well, two and a push, because it could be. So, like, you know, two and maybe a third. Yeah, that story had to be shared. Sorry.
No, and of course, you know, there's the...
I hope he gets his money.
The shaming the woman comments for her body on the Twitch chat, which shouldn't happen, but that's also part of it. This is the problem when you air dirty laundry like this. There are no winners.
I could see her thinking that she was doing him a favor. Like, I'll promote it. No, and this is... No.
No, and there's a whole discussion surrounding Ariana Grande talking about Pete Davidson, what Pete had to say about it after the fact, and why it was low-key diabolical, according to him.
Yeah.
Because it sets people up for disappointment. I thought that was very interesting. But I just feel bad for all involved here.
But Ariana wasn't the only one talking about Pete like that. I think that's...
But that's the point. I didn't know until Ariana did. Yeah. So let that be a lesson to you all. Don't air your dirty laundry, even when you think it's been aired. Man, that is unfortunate. Coming up next, it is time for Five on It. And thanks to a little breaking news, we now have a different set of questions than we originally had.
Thank you, Edward.
Thank you, Jed Hoyer?
Maybe.
I don't know that I've said that.
Nothing's
in a while.
Finalized yet.
I was happy about when they traded for Kyle Tucker. I'll admit it.
Of course you were. That's
a
bet.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a good thing.
They went to the playoffs. They won a playoff series.
They did win a playoff series.
Could have won more if they had, you know, an Edward Cabrera in the rotation.
Also, you know, more offense. Well, so, about that. We will get to that next here on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.